hello, everybody. It's your favorite day of the week. It's another day of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers and Kate Casey. And
yes, we have a special guest. We have a special guest. Not only am I a podcaster, I am a podcast fan. And I'm fanning out right now because we have the host of one of my favorite podcasts, the fabulous Kate Casey. So hello, Kate Casey.
Thank you. I will pay you $50 for saying that. Thank you very much.
Our first sponsor.
Yay! Finally.
So before we get started, Kate, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast?
So I consider myself the Diane Sawyer of reality television. I interview everybody from reality stars, directors, and producers of unscripted television. So everything, documentaries, docuseries, reality shows. And then I also have a segment where I ask a varied group of guests to review reality shows, documentaries, and docuseries. So anything in unscripted TV, I interview somebody or I interview someone who I force to watch it. Everything from glorious to garbage.
Okay, Kate. I just popped up. I just had an idea.
Okay.
And Kurt's getting the look on his face like, oh, crap. So, Kate, Kurt watches no reality television
whatsoever. Which is my favorite.
Right.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, I think that's true, like, yeah. I
don't same
think
here.
Like, enjoy what?
And Jason, too. But Kurt, like, Jason knows a little bit about it, but Kurt knows nothing.
I watch Hoop Dreams, the documentary from 1994.
That's which is a great one.
That's reality. It's a reality show.
like for example, we talk about Blac Chyna on this channel, and the reason why we talk about her is because when I brought the name up, Kurt seriously thought that I was making the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And so I had to explain to him that no, Blac Chyna is a real person. And yes, her mother Tokyo Toni is a real person.
So
yeah. Dream and Tyga, right?
Yeah, Tyga. Tyga. Yeah, oh, got the name right. Mm-hmm. Tyga. Yeah.
I mispronounce that sometimes. Like, I'm supposed to know this.
It's just it's a bunch of people with stripper names. So that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Right. And so now, question, Kate. So then, do you basically talk about, you don't stick to one channel. You basically talk about reality shows
as a whole,
correct?
Yeah, it's not just reality shows. Like, you know, Friday I had the creator of a really popular show on Netflix called Love is Blind.
But I watch it.
My show on Wednesday is going to be the chief content officer and co-host of the Goop Lab on Netflix. And then Academy Award winning director of Into the Arms of Strangers, Children of the Kinder Transport. So it's always different. It's basically, I like to be someone's guide into what to watch in an unscripted.
Right.
And that puddle is so big. In the old days, but people who liked reality shows liked, you know, five different shows. The Bachelor, Real Housewives, Jersey Shore. And I've always been trying to explain to people that that is such a small amount of what is considered unscripted television, and there's so many fantastic shows.
Right.
So I'm always on this mission to kind of expose people to incredible work that unscripted directors and producers and casting agents and talent are all a part of that you might be missing out on.
Right. That is so cool. That is so cool. Because especially like the Kinder Transport, I watched that and it was like this amazing documentary about the, you know, like the kids that they literally saved during World War II. So thank you for coming on our show.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Hey, so I have a question because I listened to the most recent episode of Reality Life with that Kate Casey, and this was the Love is Blind episode.
Yeah.
So Kate, you said that years ago you went on a date with a guy who grew up in a cult, and you
wouldn't
go out with him again. So you wouldn't go out with him because he was in the cult?
Well,
what?
I think part of it is the specific cult he was in. So it was called Children of God.
Okay.
That is a super creepy one, because when you're raised in it, you're basically told as early as like 8 that sexual exploration with adults is totally fine and normal. So I just did not conceive of myself perhaps marrying and having a family with somebody who was probably sexually abused as early as 8. I just felt like that's a big hill to climb.
Yeah.
That's right. Right.
That's right. All right. I didn't know that was part of the story. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and then also he said, I mean, I've watched basically every Dateline and 48 Hours mystery, so I know a little bit about a lot of stuff. So the minute he started telling me about his childhood, you know, I have a lot of siblings. Most of them are half siblings.
Right.
You know, we lived on ranches and like, so kind of like a compound. Yeah. Some would call it a compound. Like I was just putting everything together. And finally I said, did you by any chance grow up in the Children of God cult? And he was like, oh my God, did you too? And I said, no, I just watched a lot of Dateline. So
wow.
Then he came about me doing some sort of like, research and discovery, kind of like, you know, I wanted to know more about it. And I think that that's perhaps part of my personality flaw is like, I really get super interested in people to the point where I think people think that I'm either their best friend or I want to marry them. So in this case, he was like, sweet. She just gets me in a way that no one else has, but
yeah, you knew.
But I was like, I think you're lovely, but this is probably not going to happen for us.
Okay, that's fair. No, that's interesting, because he didn't come out and say it. He just kind of left a trail of crumbs for you to figure it out. Yeah.
But that also leads into the movie of the week, the nanny one. I just felt like I was made to watch this because I did end up getting married to somebody I met on Match.com, and I have 5 children, all under the age of 10. So. I did feel like I was purposely chosen to watch a horrible movie about a horrible nanny.
Well, then you can relate to me then, because I'm forced to watch all these.
Awesome.
At least I have somebody who can understand me now.
Kurt's like, finally,
yeah, finally,
I have an ally. But like, part of the reason why I picked this movie is because my husband and I are in the process of adopting.
Awesome.
And so, thank you. So we started the process, like we went to our first orientation meeting.
This is the research you do. You watch Lifetime.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know.
How did you survive this long, Kate, without watching this movie?
I wouldn't bring that up during the adoption.
Yeah, I know. I want him to bring that up. I want him to bring that up.
Don't bring that up in court.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was funny. So yeah, so that was like on the break, because someone asked about a nanny, like during, it was like a orientation meeting, because we're going to go through the foster system, and so there's like, you know, you got to go through all these classes, and someone asked about a nanny, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now the answer actually is, when you actually, the way that we're adopting, when you hire a nanny, you've got to do like a background check and a criminal background check and all this stuff. Like, they've got to be like really vetted. So when this popped up, I thought, okay, let's see how this would play out. And also, Kate, like I told you on the email, the dumber the movie, the better the episode.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is so unrealistic to real life. Like, you had mentioned vetting. I'm like, where did this idiot fall out of the sky that she just hired this moron?
Well, that's the plot of most of the Lifetime movies,
references.
Though.
Unbelievable. That was the worst. I thought, listen, I have to say this about the concept. I do think that there was something there. You know what I mean? When they pitched it, I think that some person who had a child at the network was like, all right, well, that sounds kind of interesting. But then when they wrote the script, they had, you know, 2 26-year-olds that were doing, like, coke in the bathroom all night, and I never had a child. And they're like, let's just do it like this. Because it was not plausible at all.
Kate, I got some bad news for you. These, all of the wrong, okay, so the way that Lifetime, there's different movies. So there's like the Ripped from the Headlines franchise, there's the killer franchise, like Killer Grandma, Killer Contractor. There's also the Psycho franchise, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the Wrong franchise. And normally, the Wrong franchise, they use, like, the same company of actors. So with the Wrong franchise, it's always Vivica A. Fox and Eric Roberts.
And other actors. Tracy Nelson.
Tracy Nelson.
He's in there.
And this actor, Jason Shane Scott. Those are normally the actors. And, like, you know, if Vivica A. Fox is playing a serious role, she wears a short wig. If she's playing a sassy role, she wears a big, long, big, poofy wig.
Yeah, it's the Wrong cinematic universe.
Right. Okay. You're right. And so all of the Wrong movies are like this.
Okay. Yeah.
And this one was actually pretty tame too. Like they normally lean into the bonkers aspects of it and just give you bonkers moment after bonkers moment. I feel like this was because this is from a few years ago. I feel like this one was from before they really figured that formula out.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Because I was very bummed that there was no Eric Roberts and no Vivica A. Fox. I was very upset.
I stand Tracy Nelson.
Vivica A. Fox would have been like, really, with this nanny? Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to hire someone who was really stupid. Now, upon further investigation, because that's my kind of thing, I found out that the lead actress was married to Justin Hartley. They never married, but they had a baby together. So that kind of tracks for me her like, the way she played up, because I feel like that's true to herself. Like, she's just, like, a ding-dong. Like, why would you marry Justin Hartley?
Who is that? I don't know who that is.
Is the guy from This Is Us?
This Is Us.
He's from This. And he's from
Castle. I'm like, you're going to have a baby with that guy? Like,
wait,
what?
Which guy from This Is Us?
He's Kevin.
Okay.
Which, by the way, he was probably cast because that's his stupid personality.
Wait a minute.
I feel like that's who he is. You're going to have a baby with that guy and never get married? I mean, it tracks. Like, I could see why they cast her.
Wait, I'm shocked that Kurt, you watch This Is Us?
Well, I've seen it. Yeah.
What do you watch? What are you watching?
I have seen it. I have, like, seen what, This Is Us. Yeah.
What do you watch? Watching? Do you watch anything?
I do. I'm watching The Mandalorian right now.
Okay.
So that's good.
Okay.
I'm watching The Outsider on HBO.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
That tracks.
That makes sense.
That tracks. Like, do you read books? And
I'm gonna analyze this later.
Cerebral?
Yeah, I read books.
And, yeah, that's why. Okay. Well, you don't have time for Jersey Shore because you want to read about cerebral shit.
Yeah. See, Les, someone understands me. It doesn't sound flattering, but still.
No,
it's accurate.
I consider myself cerebral too. I just happen to have an obsession with garbage and glorious TV. So I get it.
What's a crappy show? I'm sure there's some garbage thing I watch, but I can't.
No, you don't.
Oh, I watch Shark Tank. Is that considered?
Well, sometimes it is, because are we really led to believe that you're going to invest in somebody who has a hammock company? I mean, come on.
It only counts when Bethany Frankel's on it, I think.
I guess so. And my friend's actually a judge on it, and I always give them shit. Mm. I'm like, really? You invested in that dumb pizza utensil company? Give me a break.
Mr. Wonderful? Which one is your friend?
Matt.
Mark Cuban?
No, Matt Higgins. He's like a guest judge. He runs the Miami Dolphins, but they really want, like, nice personal stories. And I mean, I like a personal story, but I'm also practical, so I would be the worst judge.
Right. Hey, so you know what? Let's get started. But before we start, Kurt, do you have any Blac Chyna news?
Why?
Oh, wait, it's not playing through the computer. Well, normally I play a little sounder. This is, and now, the Blac Chyna Report. But it's somehow not recording into the podcast, so just imagine that the music is playing.
Okay, I got this off of Fox 28 Spokane. The headline is Blac Chyna
super plugged in with Blac Chyna News.
From Spokane, it says, Blac Chyna claims Rob Kardashian won't leave the house. Blac Chyna has claimed Rob Kardashian is too depressed to leave the house. The 31-year-old model doesn't believe her former fiance, can care for their 3-year-old daughter Dream properly because of his poor mental health, and claims he'd even contemplated suicide. China, I laugh because I almost said committed suicide, of course, because that's funny. All right. So Black China also claimed that she has not seen Rob more than 4 times in person since the paternity judgment in October 2017, which had made co-parenting difficult. The sock designer, I guess that's Rob, insisted he isn't depressed or afraid to leave the house, but he occasionally stayed in to avoid the photographers who were always attracted by his famous name. He said, "I deny that I have an issue with depression or leaving the house. My family and I are public figures. There was a time when any paparazzi photo of me immediately led to very incessant negative remarks about my appearance. So yes, for a period of time, I did not want to subject myself to that. I am not sure why anyone would." In court documents, Rob claims to have witnesses who can attest to the former makeup artist's alleged substance abuse and insist that he does not drink alcohol to excess and does not use cocaine or opioids or any illegal substance. Rob also alleges China rejected his offer to pay for a private judge to handle the custody case.
Well, there you have it.
That's the Black China news.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Kate, I have a quick question. You can solve a mystery for us.
Okay.
So are you familiar with Zeus TV?
Maybe. Remind me.
Wow. Well, okay, because there's this channel called Zeus TV where Black China, her mother, and now Ray J, and Jocelyn from Love and Hip Hop something, they all have reality shows on this channel, and nobody knows about this channel, Zeus TV. Like, nobody. Even when Wendy Williams talks about it on her show, Wendy Williams has no idea what the hell it is. And so we've been wondering, too, so I thought maybe you knew?
You mean they're advertising it like so-and-so has a TV show on Zeus TV?
Yes.
Okay, this is my take. I could be wrong, but okay. I think that they make money underground doing like porn.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I really do. But it's like, but they call it a TV show just for PR purposes. But I think it's like underground they make money that way.
Oh.
So their TV show is actually that they're doing porn.
That makes sense.
But it's not like they're having sex with somebody. I think it's more like they're on, like, screen showing their bits and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Well, sure. It's like a naked cameo.
I mean, there's, like, freak weirdos who are like, oh, I want to see a reality star naked. You know?
Hey, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Let's get started on this. The Wrong Nanny.
Wow.
Okay, so we start out. We're in Los Angeles, or at least part of it in Los Angeles. They started showing LA, and then they started showing this weird, like, it didn't even look like the Valley.
It was probably Malibu.
Okay, all right. And so we see this man and woman in a car, right? And we find out that the man was hired to like hack somebody, and she pays the guys. The guy demands his $500, and she immediately stabs him. So I'm like, okay, this movie, we're just getting right into it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the guy was like a private detective or something, and was scoping out some housewife for this girl, and says, "I don't know why you're obsessed with this housewife." And boom, he's dead.
Right. Like, I was like, wow, we're just not wasting any time at all.
And I was disappointed that it wasn't a cold open. These Lifetime movies, Kate, they always start with this kind of scene, but before the credits. It's like out of the credits of the last movie, and boom, crazy moment right out of the gate.
Oh, by the way, this is an important tip for people, because I know a lot of people are doing their income taxes now. If he did live, he would have to pay income taxes on that money he gets paid for hacking.
really?
You have to pay taxes on illegally earned money.
Wow.
So,
good to know.
Well, there's some justice in the world. Okay.
Okay.
So all you hookers, crack dealers, hackers, you better pay your taxes.
Right.
Or people on Zeus TV.
Right.
Anybody who works for Zeus TV, you're doing something wrong. You have to pay for You have to pay for that.
My eyes, Zeus TV is only doing right.
So then she goes, the woman goes and confronts her ex-boyfriend and his current girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And the ex-boyfriend is like, you're too much, you're psycho, you're crazy, leave me alone. Which makes sense after judging that she just stabbed somebody in the scene before. He's right. He's not wrong at all. And so then we cut to a house. We see a woman we've seen before.
So Lifetime movies, they reuse all the same homes in their movies. And so I always spot it. I'm like, oh, we've seen that house in this movie. I think this is the house from Pride and Prejudice Atlanta.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
At least the exterior.
Okay. No, that may... That, the kid, okay, no, that does, now that I'm thinking about it, I think you're right. I think you're totally right. So the woman is like, she has twins, she's looking fabulous, she's got her kids, and then her husband comes home. I remember her husband, he was on The Guiding Light for years, the husband.
Oh, well, she was a soap actress too.
Yeah, she was Teresa from Passion.
There you go.
See, I don't know any of this stuff either.
Kurt, you know about Passions.
Oh,
Passions.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I just binge watched it last month. I saw every episode. Passions. So, I think we did talk about Passions once. But,
yes. Because Juliet Mills show. Was on it. Nanny and the Professor was on it.
She creeps me out.
Who, Juliet Mills?
Yes.
Oh, have you met her?
No, I just see her on TV. Maybe because she dressed up as a witch in a movie one time, but I also, she's the one married to Maxwell Caulfield, right?
Yes, I met them once.
I find that dynamic to be very strange. I know they're happily married, but I just feel like Cool Rider, Grease 2 with this old woman, it just really
Grease 2,
perplexes
yeah.
me.
Well, get this. Okay, so Kate, so I was doing a show in Dublin, in Ireland. And there was like another American group there. And so there was this woman, and I'm talking to my woman, to this woman, and she's like, oh, my parents are coming. And her parents showed up, and it was Juliet Mills and Maxwell Caulfield.
Oh my God. And was he handsome in real life?
He was.
Or just like, he got old. But he's still handsome.
He got old, but he was still handsome. He was still.
I just find like age disparity creeps me out. Like
right.
when there's a big gap, and that goes for the other way. You know, if it's
right.
a younger woman and an older man, which by the way is extremely prevalent in Orange County.
Right.
I find it to be very unsettling.
Oh, and this is something that I forgot to bring up to you. I meant to ask you about like 90 Day Fiancé because that is that's the one show that I don't like. And the reason I don't like that show because it's either like a hot guy with like these women who, and I'm not even being looksist or ageist or anything, but you know where I'm going with it. Like it just
well, it's very predatory. Yeah. It's not just predatory like the Thai woman with the American man who will never get a girlfriend.
Right.
But it's also like a Dominican woman or man who's obviously with an American to get like a green card or some sort of financial payout. So these are not love stories. It
right.
used to be back in the day where you were like, oh my God, this story is ridiculous. Like they had one, like season two, my favorite couple was Yamir and he was from, he was from a boy band in Honduras. I'm
yes!
not kidding you.
Yes!
And his girlfriend Chelsea was on a mission trip or something and met him. She's doing Peace Corps work. And so they got married and the band of the boy band manager said to Chelsea, you can't take him back to America because he's got this whole career. And you're like in Honduras, like, okay. so he left and he goes back to the States and he's living in the parents' apartment or basement. And he goes to meet with a record executive in Chicago because he wants to continue his music career. But the music director or whatever, record executive in Chicago, like they got off the street. Like they don't make anything. And so he can barely speak English and he's trying to still record, you know, music in Spanish. in America. I mean, it was just, it was like a television, it was like a Christopher Guest skit come to life.
And they were like in Indiana. It was like somewhere, they were like in Indiana or something, right? Like farm country.
And now they got divorced and then she became a lesbian for a while, but now she's married to a man and Yamir is like still trying to make music. I just thought the whole thing was funny. But now
It just continues. They have like a reunion or?
No.
Or like, how do you know what they're up to?
Oh, just because I'm weird like that. I like to keep my tabs. But now it's like season 26 or something, and you have these horrible people that purposely went on television, and now they're getting spinoffs, and they're Instagram stars, and it you really have to get a reality show in the first season or the second season. Then after that, you just have to cut it off, because then the people are a little bit too savvy and they're trying to sell bangle bracelets on QVC and it's like, we're done.
And then what I think is sad is like they all end up on like on WeTV. They all end up on Marriage Boot Camp.
Always, because it's the layer of the onion. So they start off at a reputable show. And then after that, they go to another show. Ultimately, the end game is they always end up in the Food Network, like a I can't cook this challenge. And then if, once they can't get booked for that, they're like, fuck it.
That's horrible.
So incredibly specific.
I didn't even know this world existed.
Trajectory. Oh, yeah. I find it to be very fascinating.
Did you see the look on Kurt's face when we mentioned Marriage Boot Camp? Well, like Marriage Boot Camp.
I have no idea what that is. No, I don't know. But it is interesting the trajectory of these poor people. I guess they don't have to do this.
Yeah, I find the pathology to be very interesting, because it's usually people that. Oh, I'm just speaking to reality shows, not docuseries, but reality shows. It's usually you take a narcissist who has a suitcase full of childhood baggage. And they go on a show, and then they become emboldened by the small amount of fame that they get. And then they start to believe of themselves as movie stars. And they go and they do, like, appearances at nightclubs in gross towns. And then they get a couple bucks. And then they just start hitting all the reality shows, because eventually the production company that has been dealing with them is like, I hate you. And so they have to keep hopping from show to show to maintain some sort of celebrity and to get a paycheck. So it's very sad.
The potential story of Vanderpump Rules.
You know, it was so funny you say that, because I was texting with somebody who's on the show, but kind of like a bit character, like they're on the sidelines.
Uh-huh.
And I said, this show has become so low rent. I cannot wait till Jax and Brittany can't get a job anywhere when this show is canceled.
Yes.
Because it's going to happen.
Yes.
And they think they are killing it, because people look at their Instagram and they have 1 million followers. But what they don't realize is about maybe a third of them are from a third world country, and they're a bot from Russia or Colombia or Nicaragua, and they're not real. And then the other people are only following them to make fun of them. It's not like they have like any influence. It's not like someone's following them because they're like, I'd love to know what book they're reading or what their feelings are about the economic future of the United States post 2020 election. So it's all ridiculous.
Right. Oh my God.
Kurt, I am your people. I mean, I graduate with a degree in political science and worked at the White House and did media consulting for law firms for almost 20 years before I did this. Cool. So I do have like
a brain. I haven't done that either, but okay. Yeah. I'm not sure where I land, but.
So anyway, okay. So we find out that, the what was the housewife's name? What was her name?
Stella.
Oh, God. Stella. Not a great name. Not totally believable. I think if you're going to be in suburbia and have twins with names like Nikki and whatever, it's got to be a little bit more mainstream. I was assuming that her name would be something like Bree.
Right.
Yeah, looked like Bree. A Bree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, like Susan or something.
It just something more contemporary.
Yeah. Now, but what we find out about her, they borrow a Hallmark trope, because she has a dead mom.
See dead people.
Mom.
Oh, exactly. Did you hear a soundbite?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I heard it.
Okay, So then we find out that Stella's biggest problem right now is she's scared because Meredith, the head of the mommy, what is it called? The mommies in yoga pants or the yoga pants?
Something like that.
That's what she calls them behind their backs.
Yeah, okay, the yoga pants cross.
Basically, it was a charity for pancreatic cancer because it turns out that our mom died of pancreatic cancer. So we're left to assume, based on conversations amongst Stella, the horrible Big Little Lies Reese Witherspoon character who's running the show, and then four very ugly plain women in the background, that this is the most prestigious charity in the whole town. Westport Society is all about this pancreatic charity event. And the other thing that cracks me up is, like, Stella is so rattled by the idea of raising twins, and being part of this charity. And her husband's like, we've got to get a nanny because how are you going to manage this? And I'm like, these lightweights. I got 5 kids under 10. I got a real job. I'm running my kids to dental appointments. You can't handle 2 little kids that sit in the crib half the day.
Well, I also
a charity that has 1 event a year.
The way he way he posed it to her too wasn't even like, we can't handle this. It's a lot. It was all about her not being able to handle it. Like, never once was he part of the equation of maybe helping out with his own kids.
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no, because we are led to believe that he is a cardiothoracic surgeon. I'm like, okay, he is not a cardiothoracic surgeon, because later when the nanny's talking to him about her make-believe loss or pre-med plans, by the way, she's 20. She's not in pre-med. You have to be, like, you have to get an undergraduate degree in, like, biology before you can call yourself pre-med, sister. So she's, like, leading us to believe that she can convince this cardiothoracic surgeon that she's in med school or pre-med, and she doesn't even know the name of a class. Like, is this guy
she Googles. She knows how to use Google. So she could perform a surgery on someone and just keep looking things on Google. Okay.
YouTube.
Right.
Now, well, by the way, I have to say I disagree with one thing. I found one of those homely women attractive.
Oh, you did? Which one? Was it the redhead who looked like blood had been drained from her body wearing? And I love how they put them all in tracksuits.
That's the look. That was funny. I like women who it looks like the blood has been drained from their body. That's what I request on that Tinder.
Now blood has been drained from your body. So, by the way, the woman who played the Big Little Lies wannabe, she was from the soap opera One Life to Live, where she played Jessica and her split personality Tess.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So Jessica was prim and proper, and then she would turn into Tess, like the trampy, slutty, you know.
There's good shows on.
It's kind of like our podcast. 1 week it's Hallmark, and the next week it's Lifetime.
But then she split. She inherited the split personality from her mother, who was Vicky and Nikki. And Vicky was a society woman, and Nikki was a prostitute.
Oh, the woman with the short blonde hair.
The long,
Erica Slezak?
Yes. Oh my gosh! You know the
Quality
name?
Shows on. You can watch Nature on PBS. It's a lovely documentary. You see like the seagulls migrating to the west and things like that.
Yeah, but that's boring. This is way more fun.
So then after they have like the whole
seagulls.
So after they have like the whole debate about their charity and they have the boat, and then Stella ends up, you know, they end up going with her charity. We cut to a restaurant where the woman who stabbed. Oh, her name is Blake. Blake the stabby woman was sitting there. And she's on the internet, and she's looking at ads for people looking for nannies. Now, I would think that if you're looking for a nanny, you wouldn't go to Craigslist looking for a nanny.
Was it? So no, it was Facebook.
Yeah, it was like a Facebook mommy group.
She refers to it. She's like, "Thank you. You saw my ad on Face and Friends because they always say Facebook." Now, that is legitimate. because I'm in Facebook groups as a mom where people will say, hey, I need some extra help. Does anybody know of anybody? So that's plausible. What's not plausible is that on Face and Friends, you're going to put family pictures and all of these personal details. So that wasn't totally believable. Also, if her husband's a cardiothoracic surgeon and she wants to be involved in a charity, she's not going to be putting that on Face and Friends. She's probably going to go through a reputable nanny agency.
Right.
So that there was kind of like a, eh, this is not, this movie was written by somebody who doesn't have children.
Right. Right. And then she's doing this sitting in this restaurant where we find out that the ex-boyfriend's girlfriend is a waitress at this restaurant.
Now, I felt like this girlfriend, she should have been a little bit more unsettled by how crazy she was. I felt like she underplayed that. Like, it was sort of like, wow, you're really scary. I don't know what your problem is. She's just destroyed your car.
That's kind of how the husband is.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh.
That's how the husband is through the whole movie. He's very calm.
Because what the stabby woman ends up doing is when she's at the restaurant, the new girlfriend works at this restaurant, and when she goes out back to get in her car, the psycho woman had like written slut and like totally trashed her car, and she was just kind of like, oh, you trashed my brand new car.
Yeah,
I saved a lot of money to buy that.
Take photos, turn around, take a photo of her with her cell phone and say, I'm calling the police right now. You're right here next to my car.
Right.
She just sort of was like, shit, that sucks.
Right. She gave up. She's like, oh, well, guess I'll be driving this home.
Right.
That is going to be a big insurance premium.
Right. And so then we go back to the house, and Stella's like, honey, I got the charity event. And then once again, the husband's like, how are you going to do this charity event and take care of two kids? You need help, little lady.
Right.
And so she starts interviewing nannies, and then...
Well, you skipped the part. Meredith
that's right.
called her. Meredith right. called her, and she throws shade. She says, if you can't control your household, I don't know if you're going to be able to control this charity. Right. And then she says, and then she's surprised that Stella does not have a gate guard.
Right.
No gate guard.
Well, I do have to say, I do understand Meredith's point when she's like, your house is very underwhelming. I did get her point because the kitchen had like Home Depot lighting. It was not, I'm like, yeah.
Oh, well, this is before that. This is before that. Yeah, this is what she just calls and she hears like the kids screaming. She's like, well,
right.
But I do feel like Meredith sort of has a point. Like, I don't know, why are you so keen to be so involved with this charity? Like, is it that big of a deal for you? Why? She seemed a little hungry for it. Like,
right.
Are you using this as some sort of stepping stone to society? Because we here at the Pancreatic Cancer Charity, you know, we do more than showing up to an event. You have to, like, open envelopes and, like, stack boxes and stuff.
Yeah. I don't think the group was originally a cancer group. Or,
no, they were going to do some sort of statue rehabilitation or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And then they all collectively agreed on the pancreatic cancer.
Right, and the Meredith got, like, outvoted, and she's pissed.
But that is that a smart, like, why would you have a charity where you just decide every year on something that you're going to do? That doesn't seem like a really good idea. The Better Business Bureau would have some concerns about this.
I agree. Because I thought that, like groups have, like, their pet charity, and that's what they... You know, that's what they do every year. So,
you know what it made me feel like? It would make me – I had this idea before I realized it was really stupid. Was wouldn't it be funny if every year – this is my idea when I had kids. If every year I threw a party for a different holiday. So it's the, you know, the annual President's Day party. But then the next party was like – you know, it's our annual Easter party, so just to make people laugh, because it would never be the same thing. It would be, but then I'm like, you're buying shit for all these different holidays. Like, it's dumb. I feel like it's the same concept with the charity idea. Like, just stick to one thing and you're going to save money. It's better marketing.
Right.
This is a dumb idea. Sense.
People look forward to it every year.
Yes.
People expect it to happen.
Right.
Maybe they should have built that statue because they're the only – because there's a lot of groups working for, like, cancer research and, you know.
I agree.
Cancer. And right. Nobody else is going to build that statue.
But what is the statue of? And why is the mayor taking time out from being a mayor to go to some dumb event? That was I just felt like this town really needs to get its shit together if the mayor is coming to this party.
You really have it in for these people.
I know. I do. I just was like, come on. Are we kidding? It's kind of how I feel when I watch Sex in the City, because I'm like, this was written by gay men. There's no, like, women don't talk like that at a diner. It's that kind of concept.
Not Alessa. You going to take that? You like that show.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong.
It would be like me writing a television show about four gay men that hang out all the time.
Right.
Gay men would be like, no, that's not really how it goes.
Right, and you'd like, you know, they'd have them saying like girlfriend and, you know.
Right, all the tropes.
Snapping.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
So Stella starts interviewing for these nannies, right? And then psycho nanny
Blake
comes over, and she has a resume. You can see she has a lot of experience. She has references. But I started to like Stella because Stella then did something that I advocate for.
Oh,
sneaky. She was tricky. Like, for example, when they called for her references and she had all the post-its.
Oh, you mean Blake was shifty.
Blake was shifty because Blake, you know, she had all of her references and she's like, oh, yeah, you can call him, sure. And then when she got on the phone, it was like, hey, yes, I thought she was a great employee.
I would have loved to hear the other voices because we only got to hear one.
Yeah, I agree.
She had like three or four other phones. What were the other
ones? Hello, yes. She's been a great nanny to me.
Right. Now, can I tell you, that was the one actor of this whole thing. I thought, now, this kid's got a future. And you know she's Australian?
Really?
I want to hear that accent.
Freya, yeah. She should have done that. Australian accent. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm kind of impressed.
Yes, I was impressed by her. I thought she overshot it.
Right.
You know, like she was almost too good for this role, where the soap opera actress that was once married to Justin Hartley kind of like played it down. She got a little lazy. She's like, I've been on Passions. Like, this shit's easy. But Freya was like, I'm new to the States. I got to make a big splash. I got to blow these people's hair back. And I think she did that.
She's doing it.
So of course, because of her sneakiness, she gets the job, right? And so she shows up. And
well, also, when Stella's interviewing her, Stella says to Blake that she thinks she knows Blake from somewhere.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're familiar, but I just don't know why.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a feeling that we've met before.
Now, the funny part about this is I've done a ton of interviews with people on shows that are like these ancestry, or, you know, 23andMe, where you're reunited with a long lost relative.
Right.
Even people who are prepared to meet somebody that they've placed for adoption, they're not like, wow, you look similar to me. They're always like, huh? Like, oh,
right.
Shit, that's what you turned out like. So I just wasn't buying me. It's weird. I can't put my finger on it. It's like I know you, but I don't know you. I'm like, okay, enough.
Right. Right. And then the funny thing is, too, is the minute she says that, it's like, okay, we all know where this is going.
Right. We all. Now, I have a husband that will watch a movie and can figure it out in the first 7 minutes. So which one of you, how far into the movie did you think, all right, I know how this whole thing is going to play out?
Well, they have a formula. So after you've seen a few of these, you can kind of figure things out. I mean, as soon as I heard, I think when I heard that, I didn't necessarily think she was her daughter, but as soon as they said the word daughter, or she says, like, I gave up a child. Okay, we know what's happening.
Yeah, the minute I knew that, yeah. that Blake had a strained relationship with her own parents, and the fact that Blake and Stella both had dark hair, like, they usually try and contrast the villain, but they both had the same color hair, I'm like, oh, they're related.
Oh, and like,
well
for
done,
me,
well done.
So my very first memory as a child was watching an episode of General Hospital.
So oh my god, so great.
Movie, yes. Just assuming
yes.
that there's a long-lost relative.
By the way, my mom let me watch the Luke and Laura wedding, and I remember being very little, and she was like, well, it's just a surprise that they're together because, you know, he did rape her. Mm-hmm. And now yes! I look back, and I'm
oh,
like,
no.
Maybe yeah. that wasn't an appropriate conversation to have as a child, but yeah. that's kind of gives you a window into my life.
And then that show, then I remember the show, they tried to double down.
Yeah.
Like they come on it, and then they would double down, and they're like, oh no, he just seduced her. And it's like,
right.
No.
Right.
I watched right. that show during the whole, they had that machine that was going to, like, freeze the earth, and they were on some like, tropical
princess.
Island for a
Amazing.
Summer. That's when I started watching General Hospital.
Yeah.
The Ice Princess, when Elizabeth Taylor was on it.
Yeah.
Or when they tried to get Ricky Martin to convince everybody that he liked women.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Ricky was
Miguel.
On the show.
Yeah.
Miguel.
Well, that's Miguel. Less realistic than the Ice Planet you're just talking about.
That's seriously, like, I've been seriously watching General, like, I still watch it. I've been watching that show, like, right. my entire life.
Is Bobby Quartermain still there?
She's still there.
Of course she is. Of course.
Put it this way. You know you're getting old when now it's revolving around Luke and Laura's grandkids.
I did see one of the Quartermains at a Ralph's in Marina Del Rey. And I have to say, it shocked me to the core.
Was it Tracy Quartermain?
It was Tracy. She was buying bananas. And I was just like, wow.
Because you know how happening. I know this? Because I used to work. One of my day jobs many years ago was that I was a counselor at Jenny Craig.
Oh, get out.
And that was my area, and she used to go to that Jenny Craig.
Oh, my God. Why, Jenny Craig had that food that was, like, tasted like astronaut food, right?
Yes, in a box. It was food in a box.
Why did you work there?
I'm Wait, an actor. You... I needed a flexible schedule.
No, wait, have you worked as an astronaut, Kate?
No, I just remember my mom getting Jenny Craig, and I remember oh, okay. just looking at it like, why would somebody eat that? But the fact, can you please write some sort of movie about your role as an actor, as a Jenny Craig?
He's done it. He has a show
I've written
it.
A show about it. I've oh, written a comedy show about it.
Amazing.
Because it was a trippy... And honestly, out of all the day jobs, that was one of the worst day jobs I had ever had.
I can believe that.
Ever.
Because people really must have been attached to you as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, people that would come in and they'd buy the food for the week and come back the next day and say I ate most of the food. And,
oh, no.
You know, people, like a lot of, it was very trippy. It was very, wow. And I was like the only guy,
oh.
like, you know, there weren't that many guys who worked there. And so being the gay guy, I had a lot of women that wanted me because I was like, you know, the gay best friend.
Oh, God.
Oh, I thought you were saying that they wanted you, like.
Oh, no.
They were, I had
a couple. Like... I had a couple that's kind of like, oh, no, you're breaking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, right. It's not going to happen for us. Wow. Was there any Jenny Craig dish that you were like, that's not so bad?
Yeah. There was. There were a couple of things. They had like this like fettuccine Alfredo that actually was not bad.
That sounds disgusting. Okay.
And then there are a couple of their desserts, but they put like aspartame in their desserts.
Oh.
So you could taste it. But yeah, so I worked there for like 2 years.
Wow.
And surprise, surprise, that was the very last day job. I was so burned out after that. I haven't had a day job since.
Wow.
Because of, you know.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a lot. But yeah, Tracy, the actor Jane, she used to come in there.
Wow.
And you know who else used to come in there? Oh, you'll appreciate this, Kate. Patty Stanger from The Millionaire Matchmaker used to come.
She's disgusting. I don't like her. Sorry.
I guess she won't be coming on the show.
Yeah. I don't know. She's a lot. She's a lot. I don't know. I'm not buying the whole Millionaire Matchmaker thing, especially because there was a guy that played tennis at our tennis club, and he was on it. Mateo. I'm like, your name's Matt. Take it down a couple notches. But he in no way was a millionaire. I was like, this show is pretty much bullshit. And he told me that. Afterward, I asked him. I just decided to get to the bottom of it. And he's like, no. It was an acting job. So I just forget it. No.
Right. And then didn't she go on Wii, and then she tried to be the $1 million matchmaker or something?
And none of the employees seem to follow her. Like, everybody has a falling out with her.
Right.
And then she would also tell girls, like, if somebody had naturally curly hair, she'd say, the first thing you need to do is get yourself a spray tan. Now, as somebody who has extremely fair skin, I was like, fuck off. You know, like, not everybody can do everything. I don't have golden skin like the Kardashians. It's just, it is what it is. And then she would tell people with naturally curly hair, the best thing you need to do is to get straightened. So people would show up for dates, at these, like, group dates with a spray tan, with, like, you know, Kim Zolciak's husband, Croy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Croy and I have the same skin tone, and she makes him spray tan all the time. And I'm like, who are you trying to fool? You and I are not tan people.
Right.
Well, so Patty would do that and then make people straighten their hair. So I just felt bad for the guys because they would meet a girl on a date and then she'd take a shower and turn into a totally different person. And I just thought, like, how is that helpful?
God, it's, yeah. But I remember her telling guys not to do yoga because they think you're gay.
I mean, really? How she has said a lot of problematic things. A lot of problematic things.
That's a weird idea.
I guess that's why she's not around anymore.
Yeah, remember she went on Watch What Happens Live and she said some really horrendous things about being gay?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're on Watch What Happens Live on the Bravo Network sitting next to Andy Cohen. Like, know your audience, dipshit.
Right. Do you know who your boss is?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
All right, I know who Andy Cohen is, because those other people I don't know.
Very proud of you, Kurt.
See?
But Kurt only knows him from his CBS News days.
No, I've seen... I don't know.
So wait, so where were we? I like the fact that Blake the Danny brought kettlebells with her. When she's moving in, she works out.
Mm-hmm, good.
And so then there was a part that I don't think that they delved into, but she bought these stuffed bears, right?
Yeah.
And I was assuming that the stuffed bears, was that her hidden camera?
I thought it was going to be, but I don't think it actually was.
No, she just throws them in the cribs. And that's it.
It was such a weird scene, too, because she's got these two teddy bears for the twins, and she, like, literally just throws them at each kid. Neither kid starts crying. They still love her throughout the rest of the movie, but this moment of her being mean didn't really track with her needing to be seem credible as a nanny.
Right.
Right, and also, in the first scene where she's alone with them, the one kid is crying, and she's pissed off, and she's like, I got him, don't worry, and then... we don't find out what she does to calm him down. Did she give him some, like, sleeping aid, or did she muffle his mouth? Like, what happened?
Because the kid looked relatively happy throughout the whole thing.
Oh, well, also, she'd be holding a baby. Stella would be holding a baby, and obviously it was fine, but the crying track was playing. It was very sloppy. It was sloppy editing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, okay, so then, like, the nanny's there. Their friends come over. Stella and her husband's friends come over. Right?
Yeah.
You have friends with these people too?
He was from a soap opera too, the guy. He was from General Hospital as well.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that scene was ridiculous. Or do we all agree?
Yes.
Well, this is when they're cooking. Like, she's cooking this huge thing of tomato sauce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the scene.
And the friend, they happen to mention that he's a detective.
Oh, no, I think he volunteered the information.
Yeah, It was very sloppy exposition.
And then takes a gun out of a box. I'm like, oh, because all detectives announce that they're a detective and then carry around a gun. He doesn't know two shits about the girl behind him.
And not just a gun. It's like this giant old-timey gun. like some sort of Civil War artifact or something. But it's like a working gun.
And it's like, well, that's so great of you to be so aware that you're going to bring a gun over when I have toddlers in the house.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because it was like, in case anybody wants to know, I am an FBI detective. Like, no one does that. No one announces that shit. That made me so crazy. And also, he seemed real dumb.
Yeah.
Real dumb.
Yeah.
Like, wait, that's weird. First of all, I'm like a detective. I would have known so much about this bitch who's 20 years old. They did no research. I can tell you more about, like, my friends call me and they'll say, I'm going out with a guy named John Doe, and he's from Fresno. And by 15 minutes afterwards, I can tell you the name of John Doe's parents, where he went to high school, what his girlfriend's name, if she's married, if she's had any kids, where they went to school. Like, no one did any research. And then the detective's like, oh, cool, you got a 20-year-old. And by the way, my daughter's totally uncomfortable around her, but whatever. A real detective would have been like, Stella, you and your husband are assholes. This girl is about to murder you.
Right.
It is a red flag if a guy tells you his name is John Doe.
True. Do you think anybody actually has that last name and has named their child John?
There are people out there who are named Hitler still. Their last name is Hitler.
Yeah, what? True. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's true.
What? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are people whose full name is Homer Simpson. There are people named Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Well, okay, Homer Simpson and Freddy Krueger are and Hitler. Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think there's some Hitler people. I think there's some Hitler people out there.
Like, you either have to lean into it or you have to joke about it. There's no other way around
that.
You either have to be like, hey, I am a Nazi and I'm proud of it.
Right.
I'd change my name to Manson or something. You know, something a little less
impact. Oh, yeah. Imagine
less impact.
Your parents named you Charles Manson.
Charles.
Oh, my God.
He's got kids.
Anyway. Or Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that's his real name.
So the friend did pull the guy aside, though, and was like, are you sure you want to have a young girl in this house?
Yeah, but he wasn't asking it in the sense of, like, it's bad for your kids. He was asking in the sense of, like, hey, are you going to bone her?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so later, Psycho Blake is, like, looking – she's, like, looking for dirt. Oh, so Stella tells Psycho Blake that, like, Meredith is picking on her.
Mm-hmm.
So then Psycho Blake, like, decides to get dirt on Meredith, right? Now, this I liked. I anything that has to do with, like, digging dirt on people.
Yeah, I love
sneaky,
it.
Sneaky, you know. So she went out and, like, 2 seconds had, like, blackmail dirt on Meredith because Meredith apparently is having an affair. And so then Meredith and the gang come over to see the house. And, of course, Meredith is being shady and throwing shade about the house, which, Kate, you agree that the house was not up to snuff.
No, it was hellacious.
I do agree that for the purposes of a big event like they're going to be throwing, it was not appropriate. It was a fine enough house to live in, yeah.
Right. Meredith said that the place wasn't big enough. The nanny's like, well, you could hold the fundraiser in the backyard. Meredith is scandalized.
Yeah, she calls it a hoedown.
She's gonna be bugs back there.
And then Meredith, like, they leave. And then the nanny comes after Meredith and pulls, like, a hand that rocks the cradle sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you forgot your phone. And by the way, look at the dirt I have on you. So you're going to behave and you're going to, you know, do your party here. But then that kind of confused me because wouldn't she like the fact that Meredith was being mean to her, to the woman, to Stella?
I don't think that Blake's initial plan was to go in there and wreak havoc on Stella's life. I think she wanted to be in Stella's life.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
I think she wanted to sneak in and kind of ingratiate herself.
Yeah.
Like, she's living there. And then I think she starts to get resentful of the boys.
Right.
She's like, oh my God, I have to take care of you two shits when I never had her take care of me. And I think she also kind of, I mean, Blake's pretty smart, you know, she's a pretty smart kid. And I think she's like, I cannot believe how dumb my birth mother is. Like, she's actually legitimately a dumbass. And I think that began to get under her skins too.
Which brings us to the next scene, which is amazing. Where Blake's in the car, and she's like talking to all these vendors for the party, and the way it was cut and the way it was she was talking, Stella. It was like Stella. It was like Stella was on all of the coke. She had done like 10 lines just on the dashboard of her car, and she's like, I am calling vendors right now.
Food, drinks, heat lamps.
Right.
Just double the order. Double the food order.
I'm like, why are you doing this charity? Like, what are you getting out of it? Like, what do you want? Like a trophy for your house? Like, why is this so important to you?
Right. So then the next scene is another dumb scene. The detective, he brings over like a glass case for the gun.
No, Blake brought that over.
It was Blake.
Blake bought that as a gift for them. Hey, this way you can display it, but it's in this box that looks a little more contemporary, so it fits the aesthetic of the house. Which is
totally not a red flag at all.
No. Okay.
Right. Right.
Here's a place to put your gun.
And this way it's boxed up so the boys can't get at it.
Is it locked?
Kate, you have little kids, right? If a little kid saw something like that in a box, wouldn't they go for it anyway?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's so beyond stupid and unrealistic. Like, I guess people that do have guns, which is obviously I don't, I'm pretty sure that they have a safe with like a code and it's like buried deep underneath something. These morons are like, oh, a clear glass case for our gun when we have twins and we're going to have play dates here all the time and we're trying to impress people of the community. That sounds like a really great idea.
Right. Right.
So dumb.
Now, who was... Okay, I have this note. Who said this? Okay, I'm a little... someone tried... Oh, who was it that tried to pick the baby up and someone said, maybe the baby doesn't like you? Who was that?
It's the girl who's the daughter of the detective.
The detective's daughter.
Yeah, she picks up the baby and Blake says that to her. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and she hates the detective's daughter because the detective's daughter was in the bedroom making copies and she said, you can't be in here without his permission, as in the father. And she said, I've known him all my life. It's probably fine. You're never going to be Stella's daughter. Yeah, and but so... she thinks of me like a daughter, but she'll never be like Stella's daughter. And I was like, okay, nutbag. Got it.
And then, especially since Stella's the one that told her to go make the copies.
Yeah. Well, they had mentioned in an earlier scene before we met the daughter, before I met Juliana, that Stella has always seen Juliana as kind of a daughter. And when Blake heard that, like, her eyes almost popped out of her head. She's like, no.
I think that that was triggering for her. I think that probably when she became sociopathic or at least dialed her tendencies. Yeah. I was, always considered, and that's when she was like, it's about damn time people know who I am.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So then they're getting pictures done, right? They're getting like family pictures done, the family portrait done. Mm-hmm. And, Stella like runs into one of her friends. And so
I think her name was Paige.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, like, sees Paige walking outside this shop, and she, like, bangs on the window, like, oh my god, Paige, come in! And Paige comes in, and then Blake sees her and starts to hide. She right. somehow knows who Paige is.
Right. And then,
Yeah, how does she know?
Because that was the first lie that she told, mm-hmm. when she said, Stella said, well, how did you find out about me? And she said, well, Face and Friends. I'm really, you know, my mom's really good friends with Paige blah-bitty blah. Oh, she was like, oh, okay. And then just, like, moved past that. So she right. was afraid that Paige was going to go, who the mm-hmm. fuck are you talking about, Blake? Right. I've never met a Blake in my life. And that conversation almost happened until she so brilliantly took baby food and threw it on a onesie they were about to buy and screamed, Nikki, Nikki, Nikki. And so Stella ran to the baby.
It worked.
What's wrong? The baby threw up. And the Paige is like, okay, I'll see you at the charity event. I gotta go. And I'm like, women don't do that shit.
I don't know. I applauded Paige. I'm like, yeah, get the F out of there. You don't have to clean that up.
Right, I'd be yeah. like, what happened? Oh, yeah, like, that's never happened before. And then I'd say, wait a minute, just so we follow through, who's Blake? What are you talking what? About? Like, I would not let that go.
Right. As Blake is digging her nails into her own arm.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Women don't let stuff like that go, especially when it comes to children. Oh, we got that babysitter because of we heard the glowing reference that you gave for Blake. I'm not going to let that slide, and then I'm not going to leave and then go back to lunch, you know, at Applebee's down the street. I'm going to circle back and go, no, 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 no. What are you talking about?
Kate, it's so cool. I think you're, like, actually the first female guest that we've had on this show while we've been talking about a movie, because normally it's like us three dudes and we, like, know nothing.
fair.
Well, there's yeah. stuff that we probably would have glossed over.
No, I didn't know,
like,
any of that.
Talking to you, we're like, oh, wait a minute, this is like,
I would have run out of the store just like Paige, but I'm a dude, so I don't know.
Yeah, that whole scene was stupid. Also, my guess was that, or at least they made it seem like Paige had a big-time job. She was real right. smart. She took it when she went overseas. Paige is not going to let something like that fly.
Right.
No way, no how. You know why? Because Paige probably works at, like, a financial service firm, and right. she does not like it when other people use her name to get a job.
Right.
She's like, no, 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 that's not the way it works. So she's especially going to be on high alert if it has to do with her friend and is someone that is a younger person living with them, taking care of children.
You know a lot about this character. Was there, like, a spin-off series that Paige had that
No, I just feel like watched? I consider myself a cultural anthropologist, and I know a lot of shit about a lot of people. And, like, I know how people work, and that's, like, not going to fly. No way.
So, jumping on this, Kate, it seems like the only person who had, like, a bit of common sense was the detective's daughter.
No, she was lackluster too, because she didn't have enough balls to say to her dad, who, by the way, again, is a detective, when she got in the car, just so you know, that nanny is bonkers. Like, there's something seriously fundamentally wrong with her. I thought that she might come after me. No, we're led to believe that she just kept it to herself.
Right.
That was unrealistic.
Yeah, if she were like a 7 or 8 year old, I would get that. But yeah, at her age, no.
No, teenagers are like, oh my God, not only is she crazy, I just feel like she does not use the right leave-in conditioner.
Right.
I don't like the way she dresses. She doesn't know anything about Billie Eilish. Like, she sucks. There would be a lot more information.
Oh, one thing that I pointed out.
Oh, I know who Billie Eilish is.
Do you hear?
I do.
Okay. Yay. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Okay.
So I noticed there's a lot of vegetable chopping and a lot of, like, psycho vegetable chopping.
I would watch an entire movie of just that.
You don't get it.
And that was so dumb. Like, oh my God, she blows our hair back. She knows how to make tomato sauce. Like, cut me a break. She just opened a bottle of Ragu and throw it on some noodles. No 20-year-old gives two shits about making spaghetti sauce. That's not... a mom doesn't give a shit about what pasta sauce you can make. You know what's going to blow my hair back? Go take them to the park and get them so tired that when they come home, they want to take a bath so I can bang out some emails later at night. I don't care about somebody making me some tomato sauce. Also because chances are Stella's got a big charity event. She doesn't want to eat carbohydrates.
True. She's got a dress to get into.
But that's a good point, because why would you hire a nanny to make tomato sauce? Just you buy some ragu, and you know you're saving yourself a lot of time and energy.
Totally.
And money.
And also, if you need a nanny, first of all, no one's going to need a live-in nanny for 1 year, okay?
Right.
Because Blake is going to her whole thing is like, I'm just going to take the year off to save some money for med school. Oh, by the way, that's not going to make a dent in your med school tuition, sweet cheeks. But nobody is going, with twins nonetheless, is going to go, okay, a year works for us. She's going to get some woman from El Salvador who she can rely on for 12 years, who's going to be like a permanent member of their family.
Right.
Not a 20-year-old.
And after 12 years, she can go to medical school.
And you have 20-year-old, or twin boys. A 20-year-old can't handle twins. I don't care if she pretends she's Mary Poppins. You're not going to get a 20-year-old to look after your twins.
I disagree.
She barely has any experience with kids, let alone twins. No.
I feel like after a
I know enough to know a 20-year-old's unreliable because she's going to want to have sex with her boyfriend as soon as she meets the guy. And she's going to be like, can't make it tonight to take care of Nikki and Bobby. I got a hot date. Or my friends and I want to go to this under 21 club that got like a great set tonight. Yeah, they're not reliable. So you're not going to get a 20-year-old. Give me a break. I need to like seriously talk to the people who wrote this stupid movie.
Yeah, those people are heading for the hills. They're probably changing their names
I guarantee
now.
You it's a 46-year-old guy named Gary. And Gary has never had kids. And he's like, he wants to have sex with a 20-year-old, and that's why he wrote this movie.
Jason, were you going to say something?
I was going to make a joke about twins being self-sufficient after a year, and you're totally wrong, but that was just too amazing that I'm not even going anymore.
But, like, again, they're not that much work, the kids at this age, because they're always in the damn crib. They don't even crawl yet. They just sit on a mat. Yeah, come back to me when the kid's 16 months and they're walking all over the house. But at this point, they're not that much work. And Stella's always like, oh, dear God. I'm like, listen, if you can't handle this shit, you should not be doing charity events. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so this next part, like, did not make sense to me. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we see Psycho Blake and she has the woman Paige tied up and she's dragging her into a room just out of nowhere.
Yeah, right. That was weird.
And P.S. Paige was never brought up again the rest of the movie.
Was she in the final scene? You know how they always have how they always do the flash forward scene to end the movie? Because there was some other woman that was with them all in the park, and I think it may have been her, but I wasn't sure.
I have to go back and watch.
Because she didn't have dialogue.
Why would Paige be at the park? She was the smart friend who had just taken a job overseas. She probably works in financial services. She can't be going to the park midday.
Maybe after
lunch
being
traumatic. Yeah, maybe she has post-traumatic stress disorder from the 20-year-old sociopath that tied her up.
She's she could be out of disability or something. Yeah, okay.
Then they're, like, having dinner or something, and, like, basically the nanny's terrorizing the teenage girl. And then the detective...
Because they both reach for a piece of bread.
Right. And she's just like, no! And then the detective sees, like, the scratch marks on the nanny's arm.
Which, if he was a good detective, he would have seen day two.
Right. Right. And then the detective is like, I think she's self-harming.
Well, they start having a big conversation about her while she's still in the house. She might just be in the next room.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, they were talking about her at the table. They're like, oh my God, your arm. And she's like, leave me alone. I'm fine. And like storms off.
Yeah.
And
then they start talking about her.
And then like, if this was my house and she talked like that, she would have been so fired like immediately.
Well, of course. They're like, wait, what's going on? Like, she just took her fork, slammed it on the table, and she's obviously cutting herself. maybe it's time to call the nanny agency and get a replacement.
Yeah. Right. Well, the husband's very zen. He's just...
Yeah, oh, by the way, thoracic surgeon, my ass, because...
Very calm.
She's like, oh, it's just a scratch. Well, the detective's like, the lines are too far apart to just be a scratch. I'm like, what does that mean?
because they said it was a scratch from one of the kids. That's what Blake claimed it was. Oh, one of the kids scratched her. Yeah.
But not even, and like the little kid, like they're little, like they're not even like.
Yeah, their nails, by the way, a kid that age, their nails are basically like paper.
Yeah, they're
no
super soft.
No kid that age can Wolverine scratch kid. You. Like she probably, like let's call a spade, she's probably a cutter. She's probably cutting herself with like a steak knife. You can't compare a steak knife wound to like a little baby kid's like paper thin nail. Come on.
Right.
That guy did not go to med school. Let's put it this way.
I don't want him operating on me.
Blake should have just blamed it on aggressive
vegetable
chopping.
I take it back. He got his degree from University of Phoenix.
Oh, well, we lost that sponsor. Worked 6 months to get University of Phoenix. That's done.
So then the next day, like, Blake comes in and she's all apologetic. And like she says, like she's upset because her mom called. I guess didn't she say like her mom and her parents were in a fight or something?
Yeah, her mom called after argument with dad, and the mom wanted her to take her side.
So then,
my God, that's another thing. I'm like, you're just gonna let that slide? I would have talked to that kid for 30 minutes and really dialed down and got some more information. Knowing me, I'd be like. Why? Because did your dad have an affair or is he abusive? Like, what's the backstory here? Does your mother have mental health issues? Like, I would have had more. Stella's just like, oh, that's rough. That's a real rough situation. Like, what?
Okay, and then this is where they stole another Hallmark trope, because then Stella gave the dead parent monologue. Because in Hallmark movies, there's always a dead parent. There's always a dead parent monologue. Hmm. You know? And then Stella tells Blake that she had a baby that she gave up for adoption.
Oh, I love that. She goes, this is so weird. I've only told my husband, but I'm going to tell the 20-year-old babysitter who's cutting herself. Okay, right. That tracks. Okay.
And then Blake starts yelling at her. So then I'd really be like, get the hell out of my house, because I tell you this and you yell at me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, great. Well, I'm not telling anyone else this news then.
Right.
But then Stella's like, I want to be her mother figure, you know.
Oh, she starts destroying that quilt.
Yes. Oh right, yeah.
With we missed like, that in the beginning. Quilt. Yeah. Stella gives Blake, which is kind of weird also. She gives her like a quilt that her mother had knitted or something like that, or crocheted or... And then she starts destroying the quilt out of anger.
She's like stabbing it, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Take this, you quilt.
And Stella's just like, oh, okay, you're upset. I'd be like calling the cops. Oh. Get the hell out of my house, whack job.
So then, like, the next day, like, then Blake apologizes again. And, like, this is, what, time number 5 that she's flipped out
right in
front of her. But then Stella's like, oh, okay, I'll just let you alone around my kids.
She also has cameras set up in other rooms. And we've seen this in now like 4 movies. And here it's almost like a throwaway thing. She doesn't even really use it.
I was disappointed because the other movies where we've seen it with the cameras, they always talk about like a hidden camera. And it's always gigantic, like the size of 2 fists that you could see with the naked eye, no problem. Right. And they didn't even go into that, this one. It was lazy.
No, they didn't bother.
I thought the teddy bears were going to have cameras in their eyes.
That would have been cool.
No, I think that the purpose of the teddy bears was for her to say, I just love little kids so much. See, I want to bring them in there because they're just so cute. And it's because Gary, the 46-year-old who wrote this dumb movie, thought, if she gives bears, that means... she's really in it to win it. She loves children, and that's what people do when they like to express their love of children, is to give a moldy bear that they got at Ross Dress for less. It doesn't work that way, Gary.
So then we cut to a scene like Stella leaves. Stella and the husband leave Blake alone with the kids after all this psycho behavior. And then her adoptive mom calls. Like, she's on the phone with her adopted mom. And her adoptive mom is like, are you taking your meds? And then Blake takes her phone, and she throws her phone at the family portrait and, like, breaks the portrait.
By the way, that's like the worst Olin Mills photo I've ever seen in my life. That was so low budge. Oh my god, that's the worst picture. I was like, what, you better get your money back. That photographer sucks.
So then the detective gets a hold of the husband and is like, listen, I've done a background check.
Oh, and... you did? Oh, finally? It's been 6 months, Detective Dickwad. Why haven't you done that sooner?
Well, but then he's like,
he has his job. Like, he does this on the side. So.
He's like, no, but then if as a detective, he probably could whip it up in a computer in like 2 seconds. And then he's like, there's nothing on her. She has no history at all, right?
Except she totally lied about her last name.
Right.
She said she was Blake Nolan, but her real name is Blake McGill. Well, did you call the McGills and ask them? Because Stella got her mom on the phone in 2 minutes of the conversation. She's like, heads up, Crazy Pants that I adopted has lots of mental issues, and she doesn't like to take her pills. But good to know that you've got twins and she's been living with you.
Right.
It's an adult and her daughter's crazy, but like, you didn't check in to find out where your daughter's been living for the last couple months?
My favorite moment when Stella and the mom are talking is the mom says about Blake, she's like, she's not a bad person, but she has a history of stalking people. She actually burned up one of her cars. Blake is dangerous. She says she's not that bad, and it ends with she's dangerous and she burned up a car.
But the good news is, she's not a bad person.
She has a good heart.
And she's saying it with the like flat, like no affectation at all. Well, it turns out she's crazy. Yeah. But I love that the parents is like, okay, we did what we could with this kid, and she left the house. She was obviously going to go murder someone, but we were like, let's go golfing. Let's just get out of town.
She's basically saying, my daughter is psychotic, with the tone of Mondays. Am I right?
Right. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Nailed it. Totally.
Now, Kurt, you normally point this out. I think the actress that played the adoptive mom was probably one of the producer's moms or something.
I did not have that opinion. Sometimes there's an actor in there'll be an actor in the show, and I'll be like, that's not an actor. That's a real estate agent that is friends with the producer.
Like a mercy job. Yeah.
So that happens sometimes. That's a rich
mother,
wife of someone. Yeah.
Yeah. The adoptive mother is definitely an actress. And
I thought she was legit.
Yeah, she was legit. Yeah. I feel like she just was like, you know what, I'll be there for 20 minutes. Then I can like go out and do my other job. Like, I'll just bang this out. That's why she doesn't have any attention. Like, she's no affectation. She's like, I mean, this is never going to make it to air because it's such a dumb script. And this girl, you know, she was on Passions 14 years ago. It's probably never going to work.
This actress is like, no one's ever going to talk about my performance in this.
No one. And by the way, when you go to the YouTube page, it says Lifetime Moivy, M-O-I-V-E. Why did they do that? Is that so they don't get in trouble?
I think so, yeah. We've found a lot of these like Lifetime and Hallmark movies on there. And they'll do weird things so that the computer algorithms can't spot that it's actually pirated content. Like, they'll put it like in a picture frame around the screen. They'll flip the image backwards. They'll cut random images in. They'll have the sound drop out at certain parts.
Yeah, the music. Yeah, sometimes it cut out.
Now, this is the part when I thought I did, like, these people were dumb. So, but you know, Stella confronts the nanny. The nanny's like, I'm your daughter. They kick her out. They have all this crap going on in their house. And the husband's like, no, we're having the party anyway.
Weird.
He was the one pushing for it. It was super weird.
Yeah, why? What is this about his career? This is what I couldn't understand, that I didn't feel like Gary did a good enough job explaining. why is this charity event so important? I don't get it.
We're going to feel so bad tomorrow when we actually find out that it was a guy named Gary that wrote this and his mom died of pancreatic cancer.
Maybe, but he's still a shitty writer.
But that was the thing. The husband was like, Stella was like, you know what? We've just been through a lot. We just had a psycho person living in our house. We just kicked out of our house. And, you know, we don't know if she's going to come back or not. But...
Right. So let's have a charity event at her house where she knows the location and probably still has a key because they didn't change the locks.
Yeah, we haven't even changed our locks yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Do it. And we're going to have the mayor here. And you know what? Maybe they thought, well, if the mayor's here, we'll have security. So she's not going to come back. But I'm like, have you seen any Lifetime movie or any made-for-TV movie starring Valerie Bertinelli? Of course she's going to come back.
Exactly. Ooh. Or at least have security, you know. So then they have the party. They have the party anyway, right?
Wait, Valerie Bertinelli's in these movies? We haven't seen her in anything.
Kurt Fitzpatrick.
She's like old school.
Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Old school Lifetime.
Lifetime.
She used to be in made for TV movies. I remember that.
Well, but now they've all moved to Lifetime. Kurt. So it's Valerie Bertinelli, Delta Burke, Marky Post.
Oh, Marky Post. Yes.
Marky Post.
Marky Post.
Yeah. Night Court.
Gene Smart. Annie Pop.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I think we did see a Marky Post movie because I remember.
See a Marky Post. She was like Aunt.
I had to bite my tongue about.
It was a wedding movie, and she was like Aunt Judy or something.
Why doesn't Erica Slezak do some of these movies?
Right.
Is that the woman from Under Siege?
No, Erica Slezak was Vicky from One Life to Live.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I know she lives in Connecticut.
We can't do this with him.
She lives in...
He does. So who is in Under Siege? Who is the woman...
I've never seen Under Siege.
Oh, all right.
You know me. If there's not a Real Housewives in the front of
me... Yeah, he doesn't understand the underbelly world of actors that we do.
Right?
Yeah, he only knows, like, people of legitimate careers.
We
know people who've just, like, done... shit work.
Like, stop, we know, like, about me, like, Erica Slezak, Susan Lucci.
Yes, of course.
Tony, oh, Jeannie Francis.
By the way, why isn't Eileen Davidson in any of these movies?
You know what? That is actually a legitimate question.
I know. She would be fantastic. Lisa Rinna obviously isn't going to do it anymore. But
I think Lisa Rinna's done some of these, actually.
It must be a good paycheck.
I think Lisa Rinna has done some of these.
Denise Richards certainly does, because they don't even make any bones about it. They include it in The Housewives.
Well, Denise Richards, you know Denise Richards is on a soap opera right now.
Is she on...
She's on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Bold and the Beautiful. Wow.
She plays Flo on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Flo?
Flo, that's the name they gave her?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Is she a waitress in the South?
Kiss my grits.
No, Flo's daughter...
What?
Flo's daughter... There was a woman who had a baby, and Flo's daughter switched the baby with another baby, and then Flo came in, and Flo is now having an affair with Ridge Forrester, the head of Forrester Creations.
What's Forrester Creations? Is that like a Michaels knockoff?
It's a fashion house. No, the knockoff.
It's a fashion house.
You know that Les had the nerve to tell us.
Forrester is like the legitimate fashion house, and the knockoff company is Spectra, run by Sally Spectra.
Those are the worst names. That's like naming, that's like having Pamela Anderson in the cast, but naming her Doris. Like, why would you do that?
I wonder, and this is a legit, just thinking out loud here, that maybe Progressive is a sponsor. And they're getting more money for naming a character Flo because you're talking about Flo. You're going to think of Progressive, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's an ad buy.
Maybe. Oh, and then you know where The Bold and the Beautiful is set? West Hollywood. And they all work at the Pacific Design Center.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
God. I was going to say, Les had the nerve to tell
Do
us.
They really?
I have to go to a brunch. We got to... Wow.
Wow.
And I've gone on and on and on about
this
show.
We're almost done. We're almost
done.
By
the way, brunch food's disgusting. Why do you... Ugh.
Well, it's homemade. Like, someone's making it. It's not like a
restaurant. It's very good. Yeah, this was good.
Someone's like... This woman... Because Kate, I'm at a theater festival. And so I've done this festival every year for like 7 years. So this woman does this every year, and this woman is like a chef. Like the stuff that she makes is like amazing.
Huh.
Okay. And so it's not like, it's not even like brunchy food. It's like, you know, what would you, it's like almost like gourmet. Seriously.
Wow. Yeah, it's great. Okay. Yeah, she, I guess she's very talented.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. So we're at the party, right? And then Meredith is not impressed, right? Oh, the detective brings a taser to the party.
Okay.
And so instead of hiring security, which, Kate, I agree with you, if the husband was a surgeon, the husband would be able to afford security instead of having his friend walk around with a taser.
two important notes here. First of all, we forgot to mention that Juliana, the daughter, has been tasked with watching the boys during the party. Okay,
right.
So just keep that information handy.
Right.
And then, so yeah, the detective is outside. The detective, who is black and is lurking around this house in this neighborhood in the dark. Like,
I agree 100%.
Just knowing what happens with police, thinking people are suspicious, they're going to have a problem with that.
I agree with you 100%. Because, yeah, like, not only are you lurking, you're lurking in a neighborhood, and you're not, like, he wasn't even dressed up. Like, he wasn't even in a suit.
No.
He was, like, wearing, like, dowdy clothes.
Yeah, and... but don't they already know him?
They do, but, no, I'm saying if anyone across the street sees this guy lurking around all these expensive cars or people at the gala.
Like there's some black man lurking around in my backyard, like hiding behind bushes and stuff.
Because the assumption is that this is a neighborhood where these people have no sense of multiculturalism, and it's a neighborhood full of people that have names like Gail and Nancy. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Right.
I think we skipped over a scene where did we skip over the part where they, where Stella comes home and starts like looking around. She finds the picture. Like,
oh, we forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blake has like Stella comes home, looks through Blake's drawer, and she finds like a family portrait. And Blake like cut and paste, like literally cut and paste the picture into the portrait.
That's common in Lifetime movies too. They always do that. Mm-hmm. Like they either have.
That's what you find through her.
That's a lot of craft work. That's like a lot. Yeah, I don't know a lot of people who do that. I mean, you could do it on Photoshop on your phone, but to I don't know, to print it out at CVS and then to make all the cuts and then the pasting.
It's a vision board.
It's a vision board that I find that to be a little bit hard to believe. A vision board of a sociopath.
So then they start the speeches and Meredith announces Stella, and then Meredith is like shading Stella's hors d'oeuvres while Stella's making her speech. And then she gives a speech about how like she was dumped at the prom, or like her prom date dumped her and didn't show up. And so she ended up spending the night hanging with her mother because her prom date dumped her. And then,
well, by the way, his name was Roger. I'm like, okay, all right.
Roger. Yeah. Right.
Who is Gary's best friend in real life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Roger, you got a shout out.
So then, meanwhile, Psycho Blake gets a hold of the gun that they have in the box, which wouldn't you think that if I just kicked a psycho out of my house, I think I would hide my gun somewhere.
Who even knows this thing works?
Yeah, you would think.
It's 106 years old, this gun.
Yeah, it did look like a prop one, but it had that, like, the round of ammunition, like they were in a World War II or something. Yeah.
Right. Stella confronts Blake. They fight. Blake had a knife, right?
Blake had a knife in the bedroom, and then she pulled it out, and she went like this, like a psycho, like a Norman Bates kind of thing. And then Stella somehow was able to grab Blake's hands to stop her from the stabbing.
And at no point have they addressed the fact that the boys aren't in the room, and where the hell's Juliana?
Right.
Oh, and then she calls to the husband, Oh, the husband comes in. She goes, "Go find the boys." Now this loser husband is like, "Cool, you take the sociopath, and I'll just run through the house, boys, boys."
He was
leave his wife with a gun and the crazy 20-year-old.
He was yelling for the boys like these infants were gonna like chime in.
Spade a spade. That kid, that guy, does not want to be around the twins. That's why he hired the nanny in the first place, because he's like, "Fuck, I didn't think we were gonna have twins. I'm up Schitt's Creek." He barely even knows those kids' names. Like, he's really gonna run through the house. He'd rather be in a room with a murderous 20-year-old with a knife than go pick up two toddlers going, "Daddy, daddy." He's like, "Fuck that. I'll stay in the room with the crazy girl."
So Stella has the gun. Stella and Blake were fighting. Stella has a gun, and then Blake is like, "You wouldn't shoot me," and I'm like, "Oh, Blake, you haven't been watching Lifetime movies, have you? Because mothers have shot their kids before,
right?
Psycho kids. They don't hesitate to shoot them." And then they're fighting. Blake is strangling Stella, and then Stella hits her over the head with something, and we find out that the detective's daughter was, like, locked in a closet.
Yeah, he was the first one that thought to look for. He, like, walked in the room and immediately just went right to the closet and opened it. He's like, "Oh, there she is."
And why are all the lights off? Like, they run through rooms and he never turns lights on.
He's looking for the boys, but not that hard.
Yeah. Right.
No. He's looking for something in the closet.
He doesn't care about those kids. Yeah. He's pissed that these kids were born in the first place.
And then the cops show up. They take Blake away in cuffs. Meredith is like, "I knew this was going to be a Schitt's Show," which Meredith was not wrong, actually.
Yeah. Nope.
She was not wrong. But then Stella gives Meredith a telling off. She gives her a talking to.
Oh, this was so painful.
Yeah, and then she tells her.
She says, "You want to say it?"
No, get that.
She says, "Get your Pilates ass off my lawn." This movie really has it in for, I agree, it was a guy who wrote this, because like somebody who really has it in for yoga and Pilates.
Right.
There you go.
So then the other ladies, I don't
have it in for that. So
then the other ladies like betray Meredith and stick with. So Stella's like the new queen bee. Mm-hmm. Stella's running Schitt now because they all like sided with her.
That was so dumb. You get your Pilates ass, and like that's the best you can do.
Okay, now this is the part that I had a problem with. So we find out that
this is the part you want to hear.
I had a problem with the whole thing.
Okay.
But the thing I had a problem with is like we find out that Stella writes weekly letters to Blake and she's corresponding with her.
Oh my god.
Dear Blake,
dumbass.
Remember when I tried to shoot you with a gun that was 106 years old?
Remember when you
you
kidnapped my kids? And,
it's not ringing a bell.
You tried to stab me, right? Remember that?
No. Dear Blake, I'm really glad that my husband never hit on you, but considering that you are my daughter, it would be super weird.
Right.
Yeah. We've been loving the teddy bears.
So they're in the backyard, and everyone's happy, and everyone, like, life is happy.
Yeah, it's 3 months later.
We've watched Lifetime movies before, and so we know the trope. 3 months later. Blake is in the asylum. She's drawing with crayons. She's drawing her family. Mm-hmm. And then the guard comes in and tells her, "Time to take your pills." But I watch soap operas, so I always know that when the heroine's in an asylum, she always takes her pills and spits it back in her cup and puts it under her bed. And that's what Blake did.
Well, okay, I have a question, because you're an actor.
And okay.
Although I believe I act every day, I've never been paid to do it. when they say, okay, run through the house, do you say, "But don't I turn the lights on?" or you just have to go. In other words, do these people also know that this is such a dumb script?
Yeah, you have to do what they tell you.
Okay, I got it. All right, interesting. Wow.
Because if you were to say, maybe I should turn the lights on, you could be perceived as being difficult.
Right.
unless you have some kind of power and
right.
Perhaps yeah, if like you're producer involved credit in the on early it well. Stages, but once you're on the set, you know, at that level, no, right. those people like, are just running through the dark.
Like got maybe, maybe Lindsay Hartley could say something, but she's still not at that level where she could actually, like, if it was like, you know, like Meryl Streep or someone like that, of course she could do whatever she damn well pleases. But someone like that, you have to do what they tell you. Or yeah.
So they're saying, okay, just play real dumb.
Right.
Or they're saying, you're a mom. And she's like, wow. And they're like, just, you want your job or not?
Well, put it this way. Half the time you get these scripts and you're like, oh, this is shitty. This is bullshit. But it's a check. So I'm just going to go in. I'm going to do what they tell me to do. I'm not going to be difficult. Collect my check and be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you have to justify things and it takes a little bit of work to, well, you think, well, maybe we're trying to conserve on lights or maybe, right. Well, maybe the electricity is partially out.
I would also think so, like sometimes when you're on set and you're shooting a scene like that, it looks different in real life than it's going to look on camera. So in reality, it probably doesn't look dark when you're in the room filming the scene. So you're not even thinking like, oh, should I question this?
Right. God. And then that's also true. Too, the time crunch for these, like, they bang these things out in like 2 weeks.
Wow, got it.
So a lot of, because we've had writers on the show before, and so when we talk to these writers, it's literally like a machine, and they literally, like, you take it, they bang it out in like 10 days.
So do you know Gary?
And that's the show.
Well, okay, Kate, this has been an absolute pleasure. This has been so fun. Okay, Thank you for coming on the show.
The real question is, what are you guys gonna watch on my show now?
What do I get
Kurt to watch? Jersey Shore?
Yes! Yes, please. Or Flobama Shore. Either Jersey or...
Oh, Floribama Shore it is.
Floribama Shore.
Yes.
What?
Okay.
What is this? Okay. Well, I don't have certain channels.
I just need you to watch something. Yes. I'll find it. It'll say Floribama Shore Muay V. It'll be like
Floribama?
Yeah.
Bootleg, yeah.
Please, Kate. Please get them both to watch shows. Oh, my God.
I will.
If you want, we'll come on your show and I'll talk about a show I've never seen before.
I'm gonna make you watch it and then you tell me what you think about it.
I'll do it. I'm in.
Yeah.
So before we go, let's just let everybody know how they can get a hold of us. If you want to get a hold of me, Les Kirkendall Barrett, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett or Instagram at Kirkendall, or you can go to our Facebook page, Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast.
Lifetime of Hallmark.
Yes. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
I'm at KurtFitzpatrick.com. Have at it.
Kate.
Reality Life with Kate Casey, anywhere where you can find podcasts. Reality Life with Kate Casey Facebook group is hilarious. Join it. We rip apart shows. Twitter is at Kate Casey. Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. Or I always say you can find me in the sanitary napkin section of CVS.
And I am a member of the Reality Life with Kate Casey Facebook group. And yes, it is a good time. So
it's a good time. Although you tend to post more in Shut Up Mountain, and I try not to take that personally, but I do.
Oh, well, I'll post more in Reality Life.
I think your insight always makes me pee my pants.
Well, thank you. See, Kurt? See? I am legit.
I know.
He is.
I never said you weren't legit.
Once again, Kate, please come back anytime. Yes.
And isn't it weird that we know each other through Bill Anderson?
Yes. Okay, so Kate and I know each other through one of my fraternity brothers from college.
Who was the manager of the restaurant I worked at in college.
Oh, wow.
And so he gets a hold of me, and he's like, yeah, I have a friend who lives in L.A., and she has a podcast. And I'm like, who is it? And he's like, Kate Casey. And I'm like, oh, my God, I listen to that podcast.
So funny. He's so freaking funny. That guy needs his own show, too.
because we
worked – it was a restaurant around the corner from the Senate building. Mm-hmm. So we had all these horrible staffers that would come in and act like – it's kind of like L.A., but with ugly people in D.C. And so it's people who think they're really powerful, and you're like, oh, no one gives a shit about, Senator – blah-bitty-blah. It's so fun.
Oh, my God. Well, on that note, I've got to go now. I've got brunch.
Yeah, you guys got brunch. You've got brunch, and I don't even know what I do. I just take a kid to horseback riding lessons or some shit.
Anyway, well, I'll talk to you all next week. And Kate, once again, please come back anytime.
Yes, thank you.
Please.
Vice versa. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.